Hello, everyone. The New York Times published a year-end story about the unraveling of the U.S.-Ukraine partnership that had developed under Joe Biden. The author interviewed around 300 people, mostly people in U.S. policymaking circles. Though the analysis differs little from what I and other foreign policy specialists have been saying about the Trump-Russia relationship, namely that the Trump administration has refused to give Ukraine the weapons to withstand Russian advances and has been consistently partial to Russian interests, it sheds a deeper light on the bureaucratic infighting that Trump and Pete Hegseth have presided over. It's not a pretty picture. For example, quote, Mr. Trump had scant ideological commitment. His pronouncements and determinations were often shaped by the last person he spoke to, by how much respect he felt the Ukrainian and Russian leaders had shown him, by what caught his eye on Fox News. Policy was forged in the clash of bitterly warring camps. Another example from the Times. A cold wind at what one senior military officer called a de facto anti-Ukraine policy swept through the Pentagon. Time and again, Mr. Hegseth and his advisors undermined, sidelined, or silenced frontline generals and administration officials sympathetic to Ukraine. The president is variously pictured in the Times account as a wobbler, an ill-informed outsider, and a leader who bends in the direction of the last person he spoke with. When it comes to Russia, Trump early on claimed that Russia is mine, not yours, meaning that he, not his envoys, would determine Russia policy. They could deal with Ukraine and Europe. But Trump apparently delegated considerable authority to Hegseth on weapons deliveries to Ukraine, ensuring that these would be terminated, including around $3.5 billion left over from the Biden years. This background helps us to understand the administration's position on the key issues that are obstructing a Russia-Ukraine peace agreement. Take, for example, Russia's resistance to a ceasefire in advance of negotiations, which Trump says he understands. As CNN puts it, quote, no ceasefire then means no referendum in Ukraine's eastern territories, which Ukraine demands, and no referendum could mean no territorial concessions from Ukraine, and ultimately no deal, which gives Russia more time to attack. Or consider where Trump stands on the 20-point peace plan put forward by President Zelensky. On one hand, Trump seems to support a legal U.S. commitment to Ukraine's defense, though without U.S. troops on the ground. On the other, Trump says nothing about Russia's daily bombing, nor has he ever challenged Putin's territorial ambitions or Putin's provocations of NATO members. He just wants to end the war. Nothing else seems to matter. That pattern is relevant to the most important thing Ukraine wants these days, a firm security guarantee from the U.S. to deter a future Russian attack. As Philip Gordon, Kamala Harris's national security adviser, recently wrote, however, such a guarantee would be meaningless coming from Trump, for many reasons, one of which is his disdainful view of NATO. In short, it is hard to believe that Trump would honor a security pledge to Ukraine. Imagine, for example, that those little green men, Russian soldiers without insignia who fought in the Donbass region before the current war, suddenly reappeared there after a peace settlement. Does anyone believe Trump would react with force against them? Trump has chosen to ignore the latest displays of Putin's obstinacy, Putin's rejection of a European military presence in Ukraine after a settlement, and Russia's use of a nuclear-capable hypersonic missile in attacks on Ukraine. A Russian foreign ministry spokeswoman warned that, quote, the deployment of military units, military facilities, warehouses, and other infrastructure of Western countries on Ukrainian territory will be classified as foreign intervention, posing a direct threat to the security of not only Russia, but also other European countries. And she added, all such units and facilities will be considered legitimate combat targets of the Russian armed forces. The firing of the Oreshnik hypersonic missile close to Russia's border with Poland was surely intended to send that very message, that European forces stationed in Ukraine would be fair game. The missile may also have been intended to let the Trump administration know that Russia's bombing of Ukraine is unrelenting, so long as its terms for peace are not met. In a December 28th interview with Reuters, Trump said of Putin, I think he's ready to make a deal. I think Ukraine is less ready to make a deal. Asked why that's so, Trump responded, Zelensky. Europeans know better. The noted Russia analyst Anders Asland has written a scathing review of the numerous times Trump has bowed to Putin, going back to his first visit to Moscow in 1987. Asland's review concludes, quote, the worst thing that could happen to Putin, apart from his own ouster, would be the demise of Trump. I'm Mel Gertal for the Global Citizen. Thanks for listening.